As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. I always find it so interesting to go back and read something like The Hobbit after having already read The Lord of the Rings or all the, you know, the rest of the Legendarium. It's like taking a different perspective on something. And when you do that and you kind of see it from the other side, backwards, not in order, and you think about it critically, you start to have some different expectations. I would imagine there's a number of you out there who probably read The Lord of the Rings first, or at least saw the movies and then went and read The Hobbit or saw The Hobbit movie. And you probably had certain expectations about the way things would have played out. Oftentimes in those contexts, you have a sense of, okay, this is where the story is now, and the things that are happening in the story are hinting at the things that happened in the previous story. And so you build up expectations around them. And specifically, this has to do with the ring. If you view the Ring of Power through the lens of the Lord of the Rings, then it appears to be something much more sinister, something better understood, especially by the end of that story. So when you go back to something like The Hobbit and you get the end of the chapter, Riddles in the Dark, where these characters are for the first time interacting with probably the most dangerous physical item ever created. And yet it doesn't quite work the same way as it did in the later stories. I would imagine that that's a little bit confusing. And yet it all seems to fit together. And probably because Tolkien didn't initially intend for the ring to be anything more than a magical ring. Here's what I'm talking about. In this section, and we're going to go through it as we usually do, the ring is used for the first time. And we don't get the kind of situation that we get in even the Fellowship of the Ring, where Frodo puts on the ring and it has this menacing quality to it. It's as if it's calling out to the ringwraiths, or in the movies where the world looks blurry and warbly and the color gets sucked out of everything. And yes, eventually that is the way the ring interacts with at least the hobbits when they use it. But in this moment, it only feels like a magical ring. In fact, it doesn't really even feel like a magical ring at first, because Bilbo doesn't even notice that there's anything strange going on. And how can that be the case? It seems counterintuitive. This is the most powerful, dangerous, magical item ever created in all of Middle-earth. And yet, Bilbo puts it on and doesn't even realize that it's done anything. And maybe, maybe just maybe, that's part of how sinister it is. Because it has a mind of its own. And initially, it wanted to be found. It wanted to be taken out of this cave. It was tired of Gollum. And so it had to disguise itself as almost nothing at all. Let's get into it. So I brought up that the ring was not, well, it was being kind of sneaky, kind of secretive. It didn't seem to be displaying any powers at all that Bilbo would notice, and that's going to show up in a little bit. But that means you probably are wondering, what is the scope of the ring's power? What does the ring actually do? And it seems like it must do more than just turn things invisible. I'll be covering that in the bonus episode on Patreon this week. So if you're interested, head over there and sign up, or gift it, or get it gifted from somebody else. And there's over 140 other bonus episodes. So if you're looking for a lot more content, that's where you can get it. But here, let's get into it. Gollum has returned to his island, and he's just realized that he cannot find the ring. And he is, well, in modern parlance, freaking out. And so Bilbo calls out, "What's the matter? What have you lost?" And Gollum shrieks, "It mustn't ask us." And to follow up on what we were discussing last week, Bilbo hasn't realized yet that the thing in his pocket may have belonged to Gollum, and that's the thing he's missing. If he had realized that, he probably wouldn't have asked, "What have you lost?" But yet he's curious and he's losing his patience. He can't get out of the cave by himself. He needs Gollum to come back. He needs him not to be preoccupied with trying to find something, and however long that's going to take Gollum to find it. That's what's on his mind right here. That's why he asks this question. And this next set of dialogue moves us very, very smoothly from one situation to the next. This building action makes a lot of rational sense. So let's go through it. He asks him, "What have you lost?" And then Gollum responds and says, "It mustn't ask us. None of its business. No, Gollum. It's lost. Gollum, Gollum, Gollum," right? He's making all of these sounds, which show that he's under stress. He has a lot of anxiety about this. Again, relating to somebody who's an addict or somebody who is obsessed with a specific thing or a person. That level of anxiety is something that people generally feel when losing something. And then it goes on. Bilbo cries out, "Well, so am I," which is very clever, right? Well, whatever you lost is lost, but so am I. Bilbo, again, he's only worried about himself in this situation, and I want to get unlost. And I love the use of unlost. Tolkien does this fairly regularly. This is something that he does fairly often, where he will take a word and he will add a prefix or a suffix to it in order to make a new word that makes sense. We get what the word means. And there are people in our lives who do things like this. And yet you're not going to find unlost in a dictionary. And then he goes on. And I won the game and you promised. So come along, come and let me out, and then go on with your looking. This comes across as very demanding. Bilbo, it seems like, has all of a sudden either reached his limit of patience or gained some sense of bravery that he previously didn't have. Maybe it's both, but I think it's really more just that he is also stressed. This is a dangerous situation. He doesn't want to be in here any longer than he has to. And he sees metaphorically, not physically yet, the light at the end of the tunnel. He wants to get out. Both Bilbo and Gollum are stressed in this situation. It says in the very next line, utterly miserable as Gollum sounded, Bilbo could not find much pity in his heart. And as he had a feeling that anything Gollum wanted so much could hardly be something good. Come along, he shouted. And so we get a sense here that this is now beginning to be intentional. Whatever you're looking for, it's probably not a good thing for me to let you find it. So let's just get going. Now, what would Bilbo imagine he's looking for? Well, if Gollum is trying to get the upper hand and Bilbo has a sword, then maybe Gollum's looking for a weapon. Maybe he's looking for something that will be useful to him in order to get out of the situation and throttle Bilbo, potentially. So the argument goes on and Gollum yells out, not yet, I must search for it, it's lost. And then Bilbo tries to leverage the situation that just happened in order to get Gollum to comply. He says, but you never guessed my last question and you promised, which at first seems like a smart thing to do. Bilbo is trying to get him to say, okay, well, I'll come find that later. You're right. We had an agreement. But this is where the conversation turns. He brings Gollum's attention back to his pocket. Never guessed, said Gollum. And then, suddenly out of the gloom, came a sharp hiss. This is the moment where everything turns. Gollum says, what has it got in its pockets? Tell us that. It must tell first. He puts the two together. He has lost something, and there is something in Bilbo's pocket. Now, Gollum is a lot of things, and he's not a lot of things as well. He has a lot of issues and problems. But one thing he definitely is clever. And he pieces it together before Bilbo does. The very next sentence tells us that Bilbo had no particularly good reason why he shouldn't tell, but he doesn't, right? And then the very next sentence says that Gollum's mind had jumped to a guess quicker than his. And it explains that this is natural for Gollum because the ring is the thing that occupies Gollum's mind more than anything else and has for ages. So it would make sense that he put it together faster than Bilbo did. Bilbo is thinking about lots of things. He's thinking about getting out of the cave. He's stopped thinking about what's even in his pocket. He doesn't really care. He just cares about getting out alive. But Gollum cares about the ring. So he pieces it together, especially because, as it says here, he was always afraid of it being stolen. So he's going to jump to the conclusion that it was stolen before anything else. It's that thing that people who are addicted do. It's that thing that happens when human beings are obsessing about a thing. Even when the situation seems unlikely, even when there's evidence against it, oftentimes people will jump to the conclusion that they fear the most. This is a very human thing. We more than often and very likely will consider a situation in front of us, and we will think about the thing we fear the most, the worst outcome, and the thing we hope for the most, the best outcome. And if somebody can leverage either of those scenarios, if somebody promises you all the things you ever want, or probably more powerfully, elicits all of your worst fears, then oftentimes they're able to motivate you. This is just a part of human psychology. Now, reality, most of the time, lies somewhere in the middle. It's very rare that the thing we fear the most actually comes to pass. And I just used comes to pass like Galadriel. And it's very rare that the thing you really hope for happens. But in this situation, Gollum is right. The thing he fears, his worst fear, that this ring would be stolen, actually has happened. Now, not intentionally, not in the context that Bilbo snuck into his little nest on his little island or whatever you want to call the place where he keeps all his things. But it basically is the same thing, right? Somebody took the ring, whether they knew it or not. And then we get this back and forth where it really does feel like one of those arguments where each person is attempting to reframe the conversation in a more advantageous way for themselves. And this is, again, another place where Tolkien is very clever. Bilbo defends himself. He says answers were to be guessed, not given, justifying the fact that he doesn't have to tell him what's in his pocket, kind of deflecting the conversation a little bit. But then Gollum turns it and says, but it wasn't a fair question, not a riddle, precious. No, he calls Bilbo on the fact that Bilbo broke the rules of the game. This scenario right here reminds me a lot of the fight between Sauron and Finrod. Yeah, you remember the poem? We talked about this in the Silmarillion. The song fight where they basically are singing at each other. And they're both basically laying bare the things that the other person is guilty of. And Sauron turns it on Finrod because he's able to use the kinslaying against him. He's like, yeah, I might be terrible, but you expected that. You are supposed to be this beacon of light, you Noldor, basically, and yet you killed your kin. That is unforgivable. And there was nothing Finrod could do to defend himself against that accusation, and therefore loses the song battle. It's a very particular situation. If you aren't aware of that, go back and listen to the Silmarillion stuff, because it's actually very cool. But this is the same kind of thing. Now, they're not singing, and they're not really in a battle, but this is a point of conflict, and they are using the justification of the situation in order to try to get what they want. Bilbo's trying to justify it as, well, I don't have to answer because it was supposed to be guessed. And then Gollum counters that with, you broke the rules. That's not a riddle. Basically, you're the one who messed this up. So therefore, you have no justification in defining how things should or shouldn't move forward from this moment. Now, if Gollum was actually right up on him at this moment, he probably wouldn't have even argued the point. The fact that he is across the water on this little island and they're kind of yelling back and forth gives us this opportunity to have this dialogue at all, which is kind of cool. And it shows us so much more about who Gollum is, that he's actually a person, that he can have these kinds of conversations. And notice how much more dynamic his actual dialogue is here. He's talking directly to Bilbo now. It took him a while to get out of this phase where he was just kind of talking to himself, because that's all he had done for 400 years. And yet he's coming out of that. Gollum is changing right in front of us. Then we get Bilbo's reply. Oh, well, if it's a matter of ordinary questions, then I asked one first. What have you lost? Tell me that. So he takes Gollum's
justification, basically, that no, it wasn't a fair question. It's not a riddle. And he goes, okay, well, then if it wasn't a riddle, it was a regular question. And if it was a regular question, then answer my regular question first, right? He's trying to one up him again. But at that point, Gollum has had it. He's done. And for the second time, and this happens three times, he repeats, what has it got in its pockets?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And this time, it sounds louder and sharper, and Bilbo now realizes that this voice is coming towards him, that he is on the move. And then he sees, remember the lights in Gollum's eyes, these two orbs peering at him, and they begin to burn with a pale flame. The first time this is described here, it's simply a pale flame. It isn't given a color yet. And then Bilbo repeats, what have you lost? Just trying to like turn the conversation back around again. And at this point is when Gollum's eyes become what Tolkien describes here as a green fire. He's moving faster. He starts paddling across the water. And then we're told, such a rage of loss and suspicion was in his heart that no sword had any more terror for him. This is the point where, well, two things are happening. His eyes turn green. Green is usually a color for something like greed or envy or suspicion. And secondly, he is driven by a deep need to get that ring back, to get his drug back, and is no longer afraid of what harm might come to him. And this is another very human thing where that fear gets overridden by a need to have what is his. And this is the point where things really start to click for Bilbo. We've had these turns, these moments of, I don't know, things clicking, I guess. I keep using that phrase for Gollum. Now we get one for Bilbo. We're told that he could not have guessed what had maddened the wretched creature. He did not realize why he would be so obsessed with finding whatever this thing was he was looking for. But he saw that all was up, meaning he knew that it was done and that Gollum meant to murder him at any rate. It was no longer time to argue. It was no longer time to try to wiggle his way out of the situation. He was in danger, physical danger, for his life. So he backs up, he finds the wall of the passage, and he starts trying to get away. And then for the third time, Gollum says, what has it got in its pockets? And this time, Gollum's much louder. He splashes and leaps from the boat. What have I wonder?
he thought to himself. Finally, Bilbo's starting to put the pieces together. What is in my pocket? What is actually here? And notice, he doesn't think about the ring. It doesn't say, what is this ring? It says, what have I wonder? Meaning, he finally has a sense that there's something more to the ring in his pocket than it just being a ring. What would a ring be of any benefit to this creature living down under the mountain? How does that make any sense? For the first time, Bilbo begins to suspect that this is more than just what it looks like. And then he puts his hand in his pocket. He stumbles along. And we're told that the ring felt very cold. This is a description that the ring gets a lot. For some reason, it feels cold. Now, metal objects tend to feel cold. They dissipate heat more than other types of materials. So that's a very common thing. But the fact that it is repeated so much in these books makes me think that it's a cold, like a sinister, evil kind of cold. And the full sentence is, the ring felt very cold as it quietly slipped onto his groping finger. Notice, the actor in the situation is the ring. It is not Bilbo. It does not say, the ring felt very cold as Bilbo's finger quietly slipped on the ring. No, it quietly slipped onto his groping finger. This is another hint that Bilbo is not in control of what the ring is doing in this situation. And so Bilbo starts to panic. He begins to run. Gollum is coming up behind him. We get a reminder that the small green lamps are coming up the slope. His eyes, again, are green with greed or envy. And then he slips. His toe catches a snag on the floor. And he falls, and it very specifically says here, with his little sword under him. And that's not to say that he injured himself on the sword, because he doesn't. It's to justify the reason why he couldn't quickly turn over and stab at Gollum as Gollum was to pounce on him. He couldn't get the sword because his body was on the sword. He couldn't have used it to defend himself. So he was in a very vulnerable situation. And then Gollum's on him. He can't do anything. He can't recover his breath. He can't pick himself up. He can't wave his sword, all for justifications that we just explained. And yet Gollum passes by. And we get in the beginning of one of these paragraphs, it says, what could it mean? Gollum could see in the dark. Bilbo could see the light of his eyes palely shining even from behind. This is the narrator kind of poking at us, kind of saying, why would Gollum have missed him? He would have been able to see him, or he would have realized that he was nearby and wouldn't have kept running past. And yet he does. And then we get this interesting little point here. Bilbo gets up painfully. He's not hurt himself, like stabbed himself by the sword, but he fell down. You know, it doesn't feel good to fall down. And he sheathes his sword, which was now glowing faintly again. This tells us two things. First of all, the sword is glowing because he's getting slightly closer to where goblins are. So maybe that's a problem. That's usually what we associate with this. But it tells us something even more interesting. If the sword had been glowing, then Gollum definitely would have been able to see him. And yet, he doesn't. The light from the sword doesn't seem to be illuminating the area that they're in a way that Gollum would be able to see it. And so Bilbo justifies that, well, he doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't know what else to do. He's now sheathed the sword, so the light has gone away. And he only really has one option left. Perhaps he should follow him. Gollum might lead him to some way of escape without meaning to. And Bilbo's done a pretty good job trying to argue his points, trying to deal with the situation at hand, but has been kind of panicking this whole time. And yet, for the first time, it seems like he has this real moment of clarity. Maybe just follow Gollum. Maybe Gollum is actually going the direction that would lead out, because that's the thing Gollum is afraid of, Bilbo leaving and taking the ring with him. So it makes sense that Gollum would naturally go toward the exit. And Gollum, of course, is screaming, curse it, curse it, curse it, curse the Baggins. It's gone. What has it got in its pockets? This is the fourth time, but now it doesn't feel the same. That buildup for the first three times was this intense building of what's it got in its pockets as he gets more and more sinister. But this fourth time, and I mentioned only three the first time, in that regard, it was the three that was the buildup. In this section, it no longer holds the same weight. There's a panic. There's a frustration in his voice at this point. Gollum no longer has the power. He's no longer controlling the situation. And then we get, oh, we guess, my precious. He found it. Yes, he must have. My birthday present. Now, this reminds us that it's his birthday present. It reminds us that he's figured out that he most likely has the ring. But it may also be doing something else. It might be informing us that Gollum thinks that he may actually be using it. He knows what the ring can do. And he realizes that maybe he's eluding him by using the ring. It doesn't exactly say it here, but it seems like there might be a hint of suspicion in this. And then Bilbo realizes, and it says here, he was at last beginning to guess himself. He starts to figure out that this ring that was in his pocket and is now on his finger might be the very thing that Gollum was looking for, that Gollum might be right. And we're going to skip ahead through a large section of this. We get basically the running and the curses from Gollum and Gollum moving down these passages and Bilbo following him and more dialogue about we guesses, precious, only guesses. We can't know till we find the nasty creature and squeeze it. So these threatens that he's going to do what he's going to do. This worry about goblins, all of these things. And then we get to the end of this chase section. On they went, Gollum flip-flapping ahead, hissing and cursing, Bilbo behind, going as softly as a hobbit can. And remember, hobbits, we were told much earlier in the story, can move very, very silently. Soon they came to places where, as Bilbo had noticed on the way down, side passages opened. This way and that. Gollum began at once to count them. And I love this little detail because it gives us insight that Gollum would count the passages in order for him to know where he was as he traversed these caves in the dark. One left, yes. One right, yes. Two right, yes, yes. Two left, yes, yes. Notice the yeses match up. And so on and on. As the count grew, he slowed down and he began to get shaky and weepy. For he was leaving the water further and further behind, and he was getting afraid. Goblins might be about, and he had lost his ring. At last, he stopped by a low opening on their left as they went up. This moment here is very, very interesting because this is the furthest that he has been from his little island on that little lake without the safety of the ring in a very long time. And it terrifies him. Seven, right, yes. Six, left, yes, he whispered. This is it. This is the way to the back door, yes. Here's the passage. And he's speaking out loud because that's what he does. He speaks to himself. And this is advantageous to Bilbo in the situation because he knows he's getting closer and closer to the exit. What shall we do? Curse them and crush them. We must wait here, precious. Wait a bit and see. He's afraid that there's goblins up ahead. He's not willing to go any further, but he doesn't know where Bilbo is. So they came to a dead stop. Gollum had brought Bilbo to the way out after all. But Bilbo could not get in. There was Gollum sitting humped up right in the opening and his eyes gleaming cold in his head as he swayed it from side to side between his knees. All right, here we are. This is the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in again. I so enjoy these sections of the story. Gollum is so good, and I'm kind of sad that we're going to have to leave him soon, but there's always more. There's definitely more coming. Thank you to our newest patrons, Sourdough and Elias. Welcome to the Patreon, patreon.com/LOTRLorecast. And remember, you can gift subs. You can pick whatever tier you would like for as many months as you would like and gift it to a friend or a family member, somebody who would enjoy getting the bonus episodes or the ad-free episodes, any of that stuff. And you can also ask somebody else to gift it to you. So if you're interested in that, go check that out. And we have to shout out all of our VIP patrons. Here we go. AK Music Lover, Apollo, Atlee Morton, Azel Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Christopher E, Courtney S, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B, Gerald CFC, Gimli A Break, Jay Willie, Gemma D, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Richard J, Rivqua, Rosie Rose, Saruman the Stinky, TJT, and Tours of Hoor. Thank you so much. We did it. We got through them all. Also, I'm going to read out one of the reviews that came in, but just so you all know, this program, the app, the online thing I was using in order to consolidate all of the reviews and especially be able to see the reviews from other regions, like other countries outside the US, is no longer functioning as of today, as of the writing of this. So unfortunately, it's much more difficult for me to find other reviews outside of the Americas, but that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate them. So if you'd like to still help, please leave a 5-star review and let me know how much you enjoy the show. It's just harder for me to get that information, to see it, to read it off on these episodes. So for the meantime, until I find a good solution for that, I'll just be reading the ones from the US because I'm kind of limited and I haven't found a good solution. So anyway, we got this one. This one came in a few days ago from Maddie B. 623, who says, wish I could give 100 stars. Holy crap. Everything and more I was looking for in a podcast. I'm a delivery driver for UPS and started this podcast a little over a week ago and binged the entirety of it. And I can't wait for more episodes. Don't listen to the pronunciation police. It's one of my favorite parts of every episode. Cheers, Tom. Thanks. Well, I'm glad you appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And thank you, everybody, for the support. I hope you are having a wonderful holiday season. And I will be, we got the bonus episode this week. I'll be doing another episode next week. And then the week after that, you should be getting a kind of end of the year Robots Radio podcast network where me and a bunch of the other hosts across the network are going to talk about our favorite things across the year. So it should be a fun way to end the year. And it may not be Lord of the Rings stuff, but it's, you know, it's a bunch of nerdy podcast hosts who like to talk about fantasy and video games and things like that, talking about what we enjoyed this year. So hope you enjoy that and have a wonderful rest of your holiday. All right. I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.